Let's check in on the Boston sports scene. Michael Hurley from WBZ Television joins us right now. Hello there, Michael.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm a little cranky from the heat. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I'm not wearing a flannel if we're doing a shirt check.
Yeah. It's, I don't know, it's like 93, 94 here. I don't care for this kind of weather. I'm a native New Englander. I'll take 70, maybe 80. I don't want this.
It's worth it, though, once the cool-off comes. It's all worth it.
It is indeed, yeah. The good thing is it's so hot here today that the black flies are feeling a little bit logy. So they just kind of lay there. They don't really sting. They just land on you.
There you go. There's always a silver lining.
So. That's what I like to think. So, well, speaking of silver linings, Brad Stevens met the press. Let me see if I summarize this accurately. Other than losing to an inferior team and blowing every game we played at home this postseason, other than that, yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah, and let's not forget the second-best defense in the regular season, which, as we know, is one of the most important things you can accomplish in the sport of basketball. Regular season is really what's key. Now, I didn't love the Brad Stevens press conference today. It felt like an extension of Joe Mazzulla's game one, we won three out of the four quarters press conference, where it misses the point and talks down to you and condescends, and I just don't get it. There's a lot of laurel resting, and my question is, what are the laurels? This is a team that has made it to the conference finals every year and doesn't win anything. At a certain point, you have to change things or change the philosophy, and I thought what I heard from Brad today wasn't very encouraging, that any type of mentality or philosophy change is actually coming.
No, and I guess if you're not going to get any accountability at the top, how can you expect it from the players?
Yeah, and it's not everything was curbed with, well, we have to be better, we have to be better. But let's not forget, we were good at this, we were good at this. I really liked the way we played with our backs up against the wall. And it just overlooks the fact that their backs were against the wall, and it was largely their doing. You lose game five at home to the Hawks when they don't have their second best player. You lose game one at home to the Sixers when the league MVP is out due to injury. You miss all these opportunities, and it catches up to you, and you put yourself in a 3-0 hole against a Heat team that wasn't as good as you. And I don't know, there is a lack of accountability to that, because there's no acceptance of the fact that it should not have happened. None of those things should have happened, and they did, and it's kind of become the MO. And, you know, I honestly think making the finals last year hurt the team this year, because it gave them some sort of false sense of security, and they ignored the fact that that finals ended with three straight double-digit losses, with two of those happening in Boston. I just don't see that they get it, that getting close, while difficult, is not the ultimate goal.
And Brad Stevens also said that they're bringing Joe Mazzulla back, that he is the right man for the job. Is that the correct analysis of the situation, or do they not want to have their fourth head coach in four seasons, or admit they were wrong in the first place?
Yeah, a little bit of all of that. I think the commitment to him mid-season, a reported 3 years, $14 million, was just really premature and unwise, because what did you know about the guy at that point? It really doesn't matter. In all season, whether they won 60 games or 25, what really was going to matter was in the playoffs. And you saw it on a night when the threes aren't falling. They don't have a coach, or when the star gets hurt, they don't have a coach who can be the huddle and say, all right, we are changing X, Y, and Z, to point to each player, say, this is your role. We're going to need you to do this. We're going to need you to do this. On offense, you're going to look for this and that. They just don't have that. They have chuck up threes against the zone and hope they fall. And I just think that's a ridiculous way to try to win when you don't have four Ray Allens out there. You don't have the greatest shooting team of all time. Maybe it's a different outcome if you have Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, but you don't. So I just don't think he's the guy. So for Brad Stevens to sit here and say they have the best guy possible for the job, I don't buy that.
Maybe they could start raising banners that say Eastern Conference runner-up.
You know, we like to make fun of such things around here, but in reality, it kind of felt like that in this press conference today.
Disappointing. And although I wonder if it was as disappointing as it was to see trophies handed out that are named after Celtic legends going to other guys as you stand there and watch on your home court.
Yeah, I didn't know. I guess they'd made these changes in recent years. I didn't know that the conference finals MVP was the Larry Bird Trophy, or if I did, I forgot. So that was handed to Jimmy Butler. And, of course, the Bob Cousy Trophy for winning the Eastern Conference was handed by Alonzo Mourning to the Miami Heat on the court in Boston. It's just, it's got to stop happening in Boston, at least. The fact that you can be subpar at home in the NBA is almost unfathomable. The league is built for home teams to win. And this team is just defying that reality. So not good at all.
Well, and for a city that couldn't have those duck boat parades fast enough, a little history made that they don't want to make. The only city that had both a basketball and a hockey team lose a game 7 to a number 8 seed at home in the same season.
Yeah, and just imagine going back to, I don't know, sometime in the 90s and saying that two teams from Miami will beat the two Boston winter teams in a playoff series. You wouldn't even listen to that. So yeah, a tough spring. You know, you talk about the Heat. These are the days that I would love being on my way to the Garden, window down, you know, sweating through my shirt, but knowing that I'm going to a championship game of some kind. And it just didn't happen this year in Boston. And it's a shame, but with the Bruins, at least there's some understanding. I mean, the Panthers clearly are kind of a heavy, badass team that is probably going to win the Stanley Cup, maybe. If not, you know, they obviously made it there, losing one or two games since beating the Bruins in Game 7. So at least they've proven to be a great team. I think the Heat are about to get swept by the Nuggets. So maybe that one hurts less or more. I don't know. That's an individual thing, I guess.
We're talking with Michael Hurley here on Downtown. What's going on? Any big news coming out of OTAs?
No. I'm still stuck on the Joe Judge thing because, you know, a year ago, Bill Belichick stood at the podium and everyone said, what are you doing with this coaching setup? And he said, if it doesn't work, blame me. And, you know, we weren't trying to blame him. We were just trying to get an answer for it. And we still don't have one, except we know Matt Patricia's gone. And now we know Joe Judge is there to do anything Bill Belichick wants him to do. And he's a smart and great guy. And yeah, he screwed up the schedule last week, got the Patriots punished. It cost Bill Belichick $50,000. But he's just the best. I still am confused by that setup. I still think that is a recipe for trouble on the roster. But if he is limited with his interaction compared to last year when offensive players were getting coaching points from him and then having to get recoached by other real coaches to fix the bad coaching that they had just received, it shouldn't be disastrous, but it's still a bit confusing for me.
Now, it looks like the coach and the quarterback have perhaps mended fences, many complimentary things being said. Was that much ado about nothing in the offseason?
Yeah, I don't know. There's a weird thing here, and I'm trying to make sense of it, where Boston, I don't know, sports media kind of became like the read between the lines and choose your own adventure group, and I'm trying to, I don't know, I don't really focus too much on the press conference commentary exactly. I think they try to be as boring and plain as possible, and Mac Jones is maybe the best we've ever seen at that, so I try not to read between the lines too much. Mac's there to try to prove himself and earn some respect back after an awful season, and, you know, to some degree, Bill realizes that his best chance of winning games this year is with Mac Jones there over, you know, his other options. So I'm sure there is some nice playing, and he's got a real coach now. Mac Jones does, and Bill O'Brien, and I think he'll be better. So I think ultimately that's what matters, is will he be better? And I do think he will.
What's the most glaring weakness on this Patriots team going into OTAs?
It just seems like offensively they're okay, talent-wise. You know, they're not bad. They're not terrible. There are worse teams talent-wise at receiver, tight end, and running back. It just seems like if you want to talk about a team that's going to put up 30 points on a regular basis, or, you know, have some quick strike drive touchdowns where they can, you know, break a 75-yard play, they don't seem to have it. Now, that being said, for as much as I try to not judge offensive players for last year, I think Tyquan Thornton is number one. He entered the league and had to be coached by Matt Patricia and Joe Judge. So now that he has some real coaches and some real systems that might be able to use his talent and skills, he could be that guy. So I don't know. But that's, at first blush, that's what stands out to me.
All right. Is there any chance in the world that Tom Brady is the quarterback of the Raiders next year?
You know, I parsed that video pretty good. I say I don't do the choose your own adventure, read between the lines, but I was Zapruder videoing that thing, breaking down frame by frame. He does seem done. It is ridiculous that we're even talking about it because the man's about to turn 46 this summer, and we're talking about it like it might actually happen. But I do think at this point, he wouldn't be a guy either that sort of jumps in late. He retired the last time for, what, a month, and he was back by March. So I don't think he's someone that would midsummer drop all his plans, try to catch up to speed, even though it's Josh McDaniels. I don't know. There's a lot there. Plus, it would require the vote. I'm going to go no, which is sad because I think the league without Tom Brady is a lesser league.
Do you think he ever ends up as an analyst on Fox?
Maybe. Everyone thinks he's going to be terrible at it, but I think they overstate, you know, like Troy Aikman's one of the best. What does he really say? He says, look at this play. This guy did this. And then it goes to the next play. So I think Brady would be fine at it. And the money, I don't know what that money looks like to Tom Brady. It's still got to be a lot. It's even though he's got plenty of money, it's different than what it would look like to me. But I don't think he's going to look that one in the mouth and turn it away. But my thing for me is if we're opening up, you know, the Dolphins tried to do it, the Raiders are in the process of doing it. Does Robert Kraft not want Tom Brady tied to the Patriots forever? Because if I'm Robert Kraft, I know it's my team. I know I own it. It's a family business. Maybe I'm giving Tom Brady 2% of the franchise and letting him be tied to the organization for the next 40 years because he is the embodiment of winning. He is the reason those banners hang there. And the reality is Bill Belichick has 2 years left. I don't know. And then he's gone. And then what do you have? You have this sort of middling franchise, perhaps, where you don't have the star power already. I think the most popular Patriots right now are Tom Brady, Julian Edelman, and Rob Gronkowski. So guys that haven't played here in years. So you're losing that. And to me, I'm just confused and sort of perplexed why, if you're the owner of the Patriots, you're not the team saying, Tom, you get a piece of our team, buy in, we'll build a statue for you, we'll name the stadium after you. Like, it should be the Tom Brady team, and they're going to go let him own the Raiders? That to me is the Brady post-retirement thing that sticks in my craw.
I'm with you on that completely. Michael Hurley, WBZ. Michael, thanks as always. Appreciate you joining us today. Have a good weekend, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Always a pleasure. We'll talk.
Michael Hurley on Downtown.